with chapter 6, part 3, governing principle, raising breakthrough believers. I'll review a few things that we went over last week. We said that in covenant living with God, he is bound to honor his word, and we are duty bound to maintain our part of the covenant. God's will is full of promises, but we must do our part so that the promise becomes covenant. God invited Abraham to enter into covenant with him. God promised Abraham that the covenant would never be nullified, even if Abraham died, thus reinforcing the covenant through Abraham's descendant. God took personal responsibility to fulfill every word of promise, even after Abraham's death. I want us to really get a real good look at what the author's trying to betray here, because unless we understand covenant, then the work of God is never going to flourish and come to fruition the way it's supposed to. See, because if you don't understand covenant, relationships going, you're gonna have jacked up relationships. You know what I'm saying? And then not only that, let's say like in marriage, you have if you don't understand covenant, then you're not gonna be loyal and faithful in your marriage. A covenant was all about love, loyalty, respect, and honor. And so when we don't see this, and one of the things that I was thinking about, I was on my way up here, as I have seen with so many people who say they have a call of God on their life, they won't allow themselves to be really under somebody who's really responsible for pouring into their life. So we have so many renegades. And so if we don't understand covenant, we're not going to be faithful to any ministry. We're not going to be faithful to, you know, any pastor, any ministry team, any church. We're not going to be faithful to it, because if we don't understand covenant, then we're just going to be buck wild and just do what we want to do. And so God can't really get the things of the kingdom, or he can't accomplish kingdom agendas if we are not in our proper place, being trained the way we need to be trained and that sort of thing, so that we can accomplish the thing that we need to accomplish. Now, we said that in establishing an understanding among the believers of the power of covenant with God, we'll land a strong foundation for other wholesome relationships within the house. The beneficiary of any covenant relationship is the next generation. And so, see, so we have to understand that God doesn't want to continue to raise somebody up after, you know, somebody else has gone off the scene, because there was no students, there was nobody who was teachable enough to be able to grab hold of what had been said. And not only that, lock in the covenant with that person and not let them go, because you know that in your destiny, this person play an important part in your destiny. So watch this. So I can't really let my feelings get in the way, because there's going to be times that I have to be corrected, because I'm learning how to really do kingdom business and take care of kingdom assignments. And so the person who I'm following, that's going to be times when I'm going to have to be corrected. So if I have not put myself in a position where I understand covenant, and I understand that this person who is pulling in me love me, and I have to honor and respect them, even though there may be times when I get corrected. And that's something that people don't like correction. But correction is for our good. All right. If you have children and you never corrected them, then that will say a whole lot about your love for them. That would say that you have your children playing outside, you know, there's an interstate right out in front of your house and that kind of thing and stuff. And so you get a fence and you put up around the house. It's not to keep them from having fun. They can have fun within the boundaries. Yes, yes. But you protecting them from being hurt.
That's right.
You with me?
Yes,
so many times we don't understand this in the body of Christ, man. There's so much that God is pouring into our leader. That's what I love so much about what the apostle is doing, man. This is phenomenal what's happening now. In all of my years of following Christ, I've been saved since I've been 80 years old. I mean, since 1980, I've been saved since 1980. Praise the Lord. 80 years. Oh, my goodness. Praise God. I've been following God, you know, for a long time. I've been following the apostle. This will be my 18th year. And what I see now is just phenomenal what the Lord is doing and what God is using him to do. He called for the miracles and the healing and deliverance service. Well, no matter what I had on my schedule, it had to be canceled. Why? Because this is the assignment that God has gave. This is who God has put me in covenant with. So I have to drop everything. I have to drop everything. You know what I'm saying? And so now, if I was a person who lived out of town, I would drop everything, catch a plane, catch a train, catch a bus. I would have gotten here. You understand what I'm saying? And so the relationship has to be important to you. If not, you know, you're going to miss a whole lot that God is trying to do. So we said that God is interested in the holy seed, a godly offspring coming forth in a covenant relationship, you know, even in marriage. Our children, there's a reason why they were putting our family, because there are certain things that we are supposed to be raising them up in and teaching them and training them so that they can impact the next generation. Amen. See, God is about generation. God is about impacting generations. So we said, when we live within the contract of covenant, we can tap into the abundance of God's provision, protection, and favor. We said that there are blessings we cannot receive until we are part of God's covenant. Even though faith allows us to find access to partial benefits of the covenant, it is a covenant life that gives us the full privilege as sons and daughters of the covenant. And we will never see God really doing what he want to do in our lives unless we really understand this. And if we don't understand covenant, we're not going to ever mature and become sons and daughters of God. We'll be children of God, but there'll be no growth. So there are many who operate in faith and have tapped into the blessings of the covenant. We said this last week, but they are merely receiving the crumbs that fall from the master's table. In essence, they're living a dog life. So if we choose to walk in covenant, we can partake of the bread of the master's table and live like sons and daughters, heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. So we said that the author, he was stating that the blessings of, they talk about blessing of the Father and blessing of God. So, and we said, for instance, you know, we talked about, the Bible says that God will reign on the just as well as unjust, right? Okay, just like he reigned on the unjust because, you know, they are his creation. But how many of you know there's some things that he do specially for his sons and for his son? Now, we use the sons and daughters because we don't want to offend the ladies. But as it relates to the things of God, there is really no gender in the spirit. So that's why he say sons of God. You understand what I'm saying? So the blessings of the Father only observed for the sons, and they will receive all that is gathered for them. So once we understand, you remember in the prodigal son, that oldest son, he got upset with the younger one. And that is really a picture of the way a whole lot of the church is. They really want the things, but they want the things apart from God. You know, gimme. My name Jimmy, I take anything you give me, that kind of thing and stuff. But how many of you know we have to go after God? And in going after God, going after God's agenda, understanding covenant, then the Bible says, according to Matthew 6:33, all these things are going to be added unto you. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So uh, So and then also we see an example in Abraham. The Bible says in Genesis 25, talks about how Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, but he gave gifts to the sons of concubines. Let's look at that. Genesis 25. Genesis 25. It says that Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. You see that? Mm-hmm. But then watch this. These other kids that he had by these concubines, it said, and unto the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, he gave gifts, and he sent them away from Isaac, his son Isaac. You see that? While he yet lived. So Abraham said, look, I mean, this is the promised child. You know, there's some, I'm going to do something for y'all, but I'm not going to do for you like I did for Isaac. So could it be, you know, and a lot of times, especially when you're doing what God has called you to do, and you're matured as sons and daughters. And it's one thing that we can't overemphasize, and that is really growing in the love of God. You can't overemphasize that. You know, the Bible talks about grieving the Holy Spirit. And we grieve the Holy Spirit when we have bitterness and anger and stuff against other people and that sort of thing and stuff. And all that comes from a lack of maturity. And so God can't really do what he needs to do whenever we are that way. He can't. See, we began to walk as sons because we began to start resembling the character of God. You know, you can have a child and they can grow up. You know, they can grow up once they're small. They may not have your character and that sort of thing and stuff. But once they start growing up, you say that's a chip off the old block. That's my child. That's my son. You understand what I'm saying? So God, that's what God says when we begin to walk in maturity. Folk do us wrong. Well, what the heck? You understand? You know, I forgive them, go on. God said, oh, that's a chip off the old block. But then when we cussing folk out, we doing all kind of things. God said, that may have came off a block, but it wasn't this block. You understand what I'm saying? So as sons and daughters of God, see, this is why it's so important. Okay, with the covenant that Abraham cut, this had to do with animals and stuff. But see, when Jesus Christ came, the covenant that was cut, we are circumcised. Now, Abraham had to be circumcised in his flesh, but we were circumcised in the heart. So that's why it's so important. God has to get to our heart. Our heart got to be right before God. So our circumcision is in the heart. So when our heart is right toward God, and then our heart can't be right toward God if our heart is not right toward the people who God has placed in our life, the ordained covenant that God has placed in our life. If you are married and you are, you know, you're cheating and that sort of thing and stuff, then guess what? Then you are not really walking in covenant with God, because God knows that sooner or later, I'm gonna have to replace that person. I'm going to have to replace that person, because this person's going to make a big boo-boo and they're going to get out of the wheel. And then so even the children that came up through this relationship, they're going to be dysfunctional. So now the work of the kingdom can't really be carried out because, amen, things has happened dysfunctional. And Satan is behind all of it. But the thing about it is, as children of God, that's why we have to keep ourselves in a place where we're hearing from God on a consistent basis. We have to keep ourselves in a place where, you know, prayer is going forward, where we're allowing the Holy Spirit to really minister to us, really show us what is the will of the Father for me in this situation. And God loves it when we consult with him about everything, every little thing, every situation. There's decisions that we can make that's outside of God's will. And that's why we have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit can pull us back to where we need to be. Now you go down this way. You just made a wrong turn. See, once we make a wrong turn and go away from the plan of God, then we're not going to, it's going to be hard for us to recover, to get back to where we're supposed to be. And so now, then there's somebody else that God has to raise up to come down this road where he's trying to carry you to, where you took the wrong step, where you didn't, because the relationship with God was not where it's supposed to be. And that's why there's so much in the church. There's so much confusion in the church. Some folk don't even know what they're called to do. I've heard people say, you know, I've been called by God. Well, you know, when somebody call you on the telephone and you just put the phone to your ear, or you just you noted that that's them, and then put the phone down. Well, you didn't get the instructions that they were gonna give you. You got the call, but you don't have instructions. And so that's why it's so vitally important. But Abraham, when it comes down to the sons, God, there's so much more that God want to do for them. That's what I'm trying to say to you. So much more that God want to do for you when we mature, we grow, we get to the place where it's all about his business, not about mine. It's about his business. Right. Right. Hallelujah. Right. So now, covenant relationships are incomplete if we choose different destinies in life. Look at the covenant between Jonathan and David. When David went to the cave of Engedi, Jonathan chose to return to his father's palace. Jonathan could have lived longer if he had stayed where God's covenant was with David, because the covenant was with David and not with Saul. But man, oh Lord have mercy. So many people have gone before their time, because they have walked away from the person who God had them in covenant with. Because I didn't like a certain thing or something, or because I didn't feel like they were, I've seen people walk off from apostle. And life got in shambles and ruin. And I say, what is it that they don't understand? I mean, if I was walking here, and I was in the will of God, God was leading and guiding me and that sort of thing. And so when I got away from the person who God put me in covenant with, and I start seeing everything fall apart, something should say to me that I need to get back to where I need to be. But a lot of folk, because of ego, because of pride, they just go right on about their way. They just feel like, I'll make it someday. I see people who drunks now. People who had calls of God on their life, who drunks, alcoholics, walked away from the person who they were supposed to have been in covenant with. I had a man tell me one time, he married this girl. And I was trying to talk to him, and he told me, he said, well, God has somebody else for me. I said, what you mean he got somebody else for you? He said, well, this girl, her dad was a pastor. And so he said that, God has somebody else that he has for me, because I don't think that I'm supposed to be in this family. I said, he got about four or five children with the lady. I said, what's the problem? He said, well, I used to do crusades and that kind of thing and stuff when I started. But her dad, he don't do that kind of stuff, so he won't let me do it. I said, so you feel like, because that's what you feel like you called to do, I said, why don't you just stay there and let him train you? Oh, I'm already trained. I said, well, so he left the family that he was in. And this had a woman that he met in Tennessee, and her mom was a pastor. And so he married her. He told me before he did, I said, man, don't do it. I said, God's going to use you. I said, but that relationship that you're in with your wife, I said, God is gonna use y'all together. He said, well, I don't receive that. I said, well, praise the Lord. And he married the girl and stayed married about 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah, he stayed married 2 or 3 weeks. And now he just going back and forth like somebody, who just lost. Praise the Lord. I feel sorry for people when that happened to them. But where is the Holy Spirit that you say that's called you to preach? The Bible said the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in us. Well, how in the world you could become so stagnated and so dead where the Holy Spirit is not even trying to, Holy Spirit can't, because you're not listening. Now I'm gonna show you something. Now this covenant between David and Jonathan was a real powerful covenant. Let me go, because I want to go over to the scripture in 1 Samuel and look at it for a minute, because we need to see something. Go to look at 1 Samuel 18 chapter. It says in the third verse, it says, now then Jonathan and David made a covenant. Now I want you to understand something now. Jonathan is King Saul's son, is the king's son, right? Okay, so Jonathan, he really is the crown prince of Israel. But now you're gonna see these two people cutting covenant, and you're gonna see how Jonathan, he realizes that even though he is the heir to the throne, but he knew that God had placed something on David, and Jonathan was willing through that covenant that he cut. Watch this now. It says, so in that third verse, it says, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan, look what he's doing. This happens during the covenant ceremony. They would take off the robe. And so by him taking the robe off, what that really meant was he was giving his royalty to David. David became who he was. He was becoming who David was. That's how covenants are established. So he took the robe off and he gave it to David and his armor. See, and that signifies, well, the robe signifies he's turning his authority over to David. Now he's turning over his armor and his sword and his bow and his belt, which means that now my enemies become your enemies. And so now when this covenant is so strong that even when Saul began to try to kill David, Jonathan would always warn him about what was about to happen to him. That wasn't normal. You see? All right. So then look at the 20th chapter. The 20th chapter of 1 Samuel. I'm going to read the 8th, the 14th, through the 17th, and the 42nd verse. I want you to see something. It said, therefore, you shall deal kindly with your servant. Now, this is what David said to Jonathan. He said, deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant unto the covenant of the Lord with you. Nevertheless, if there is iniquity in me, kill me yourself, for why should you bring me to your father? And you shall not only show me the kindness of the Lord, and that kindness, see, that's what birthed out of covenant. That kindness is in the Hebrew is hasid, the word hasid, which is equivalent. It's a loving kindness. It is hasid is the same word in the old covenant as agape is in the new covenant. You understand what I'm saying? So this is the unconditional love that he's talking about. And see, that's what covenant is based on. Unconditional love. Love has to be unconditional. Love cannot be conditioned on whether or not, you allow me to do this or that or whatever and stuff. The covenant has to be based on unconditional love. So he's talking about this kindness of the Lord while I still live. Now watch this, that I may not die, but you shall not cut off your kindness or your love or your loving kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. Now he's telling him that not only are you going to not show this love and this compassion toward my family or my house while I'm living, but even if I die, you still have to. This is what the covenant was about. You understand? See, listen to me. It's talking about carrying a thing into the next generation. Still with me? Okay. So he says, so Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord require of it at the hand of David's enemy. Now, Jonathan again calls David to vow because he vowed, because he loved him. He loved him as his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, may the Lord be between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever. See, it's covenant. So he rose. He arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Now, I say this all the time, and you know, I'm not ashamed to say this. You know, I'm in covenant with Apostle. All right, so I've talked to my family. I told them, say, look, I go off the scene. You understand what I'm saying? Y'all are to connect with Leroy Jr., Montreal, Shauna, Darnell, their family. You got to stay connected. Y'all with me? See, because even in families, God is doing a specific work. But if you, if your family don't understand why you're connected the way you're connected, then you go off the scene and then they disconnect. They will never fulfill the purpose which God has for them on the earth. I believe this. I believe that out of all the men in the world, God called me to follow this one man. I don't watch a whole lot of television preachers. I don't glean from no other preacher, because what God has placed in him is what I need. Now it may sound, to the church world, that may sound like, you know, you some kind of flunky or something like that. But man, if you don't understand covenant, you don't understand purpose, you're gonna be lost. You're gonna be way out in left field. You got this thing. This thing has to get in your heart. It has to be so woven in your heart that no matter what come or go, I have relatives that don't associate with me. You understand what I'm saying? And they don't like my connection. So I got blood brothers and sisters. Listen to me. I know what God told me. You understand what I'm saying? And so because of that, I'm not going to let, whether it's family. See, let me tell you something about covenant. You know, the saying, blood is thicker than water. That's covenant talk. That's covenant. The blood they're talking about is not the relative. The water is the relative, because you come out the same womb. But the blood is that person who God connected you to. Blood is thicker than water. So I still love my folk. You understand what I'm saying? But the thing about it is, I have an assignment from God. Jesus said this. They came looking for him. And they said, Jesus, your mama out there. He said, who is my mother, my father? They that do the will of my father. He said, I got to be about my father. But I don't have time for all this here craziness. You understand what I'm saying? I've had people in my church that I invited them to leave. And the reason why I invited them to leave is because they had family members that kept pulling on them, kept saying negative things about me and about the ministry. You understand what I'm saying? And they told me, I could see they was torn and stuff. I said, you know, that's your mama. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead on and just, wherever she going to church, just go with her. But the Lord told me to be here. I said, yeah, but you ain't strong enough to handle this. Because, you know, mama's standing in your ear. See, if you're not strong enough to say, you know, I'm going to mama's house every morning, drinking coffee and stuff with her. If she got to say something about my apostle and my connection, I'm going to say, mom, you know I love you. And you know I enjoy drinking coffee with you every morning. And you know you're the apple of my eye. But if you're going to continue to do this, then I'm not going to be coming over every morning. I'm going to come over every now and then to see you, but we can't have this conversation. And some folks think that, my God, I ain't never saw nothing like this before. Because the world is, I mean, the church has not really understood covenant to its fullest degree. Then we have this little watered down relationship. And as soon as somebody says something, man, I have people join the church and they excited. Oh, man, they come in and the Spirit of God touch them and they excited about it. And then I don't see them no more. Somebody got, they all decide, they go tell somebody else, I just joined this church and man, you know, I really got blessed. What church that is? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a church, you know, they about money and stuff like that. Person had never came and sat down and talked to me, but somebody talked them out of, so many people is missing out on what God want to do for them here at Word of Life. Because of something somebody said in their family or some old crazy stuff. You understand what I'm saying? And so there's no way in the world, man, we're going to be able to fulfill the will of God for our life and stuff. I say this all the time, and I stand on this. If I have relatives that come to my house and they say something about my apostles, they got to go. They have to leave my house. Say, what if you're at their house? I'm leaving. I'm not staying around. You can't, look, listen to me. My assignment that I have to do for God is more important than, you know, getting together with family, gathering. So I love my family. You got to understand what I'm saying. But I cannot let this jeopardize what God is trying to do in my life. But Jonathan, man, Jonathan understood, you know, that David is really going to be the king. Watch this. Watch what he said. I'm finna go back. Hold on one minute. I'm gonna show you what Jonathan said, man. Because Jonathan knew that David. Look at 23. Is it 23? Wait a minute. Praise the Lord. Hold on. All right. Look at 1 Samuel 23. Watch what Jonathan says here. Verse 17. He said, verse 17. He said, and he said unto him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel. You see, Jonathan, the one who is supposed to be successor, who has cut this covenant with David, he's telling him, do not fear, for the hand of, he's telling him, in other words, there ain't nowhere in the world my daddy could do all he could try to do to take you out. He can't take you out because you're the next king. He said, I gave you the role. My royalty that was handed to me. And see, we have to realize that that's the same thing Jesus did for us. Same thing. But watch this. He said, you shall be king over Israel. I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that. That's why he's trying to kill him. But the covenant was so strong till Jonathan, how in the world, come on now. Tell me how in the world could this boy be more faithful to David than he was his daddy? Covenant. It says, so the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. Where he went? To his own house. Now, he really should have stayed with David. I said, he really should have stayed with David. Also, when Jonathan and David cut the covenant, Jonathan gave David everything except his shoes. Right? We saw where he gave him the robe. He gave him his sword. He gave him his bow. He gave him his belt. But he didn't give him his shoes. And as a result, the next generation were crippled and yet became the beneficiaries of the covenant. And look what happened. Go to 2 Samuel now. 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter, verse 1. Hallelujah. That's why, see, he didn't give him his shoes. See, because he didn't give him his shoes, when David left and went, he should have been right behind David. But because he kept his shoes, he stayed and went back to his father's house. He should have followed David. So, some time ago, Apostle gave me a word. We was in Maryland. And he gave me a word. He said that the Lord said I was going to walk in his shoes. And he said that the Lord said I was to buy him a pair of shoes because I'm going to be walking. And you know what I did? I went and bought a few pair of shoes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? But the thing about it is I don't care. Apostle can rebuke me. He could correct me. He could tell me he don't want me to follow. You know what I do? I just get back a little bit, you know, and kind of hide behind somebody while he can't see me, and I still be falling. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Why? Because God called me to do this. Amen. I'm in covenant. This is a life decision. Yes, that's right. What? Yeah, this is a life decision. Where I told you to go? 2 Samuel 9:1. It says, and David said, is there, now watch this. Now David made that covenant with him. David said, Jonathan said, even when I leave here, you got to show kindness to my house. You got to show this love. You got to show this hasid. You got to show this love and kindness. It said, is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there anyone of the house of Saul that I may show kindness? I may show this hasid, I may show this loving favor of God unto him. And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan had yet one son, and he's lame on his feet. Now, what happened to this boy was when Jonathan and David, they went out against the Philistine army. And so the Philistine, they whooped the socks off Israel. They killed Saul and his son, killed both of them. So once it got back that Israel had lost, then the raw nurses, they began to grab the children, Jonathan's children, and then they had this one of them, by them trying to hurry up and get away, they ran and they dropped the baby, and he became crippled. And so now, then the word comes, when David becomes king, see, this is what's supposed to happen. Whenever you were conquered by another king, another nation, then that conquered king would look for everybody that's in that family that was left, and he'd kill them. Because once he took over the rule over that people, then he didn't want to have no enemies to try to come back on him. So his son, Jonathan's son, he went across the Jordan in a desert place that was called Lodabar. And so that's where he was. That's where he was living at. So now it said, and the king said unto him, where is he? Anyway, let me go on down. So this is what happened. It said now in verse 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. Now really, Mephibosheth really is afraid because he thinks that David called to set him up. Got 3 minutes. I got you. And David said unto him, fear not, I was sure to show thee kindness. So it's just like us when we came to Christ, you know, all of our wrongdoings, all that we had did, and we looking for judgment, and he shows us love. And so this is what happened to Mephibosheth. And David gave him back all that was his grandfather's. Man, that's what covenant does, man. Covenant, you cannot lose when you walk in covenant. And I am through. Praise the Lord. All right. What do we got? Test next week? Okay. Well, y'all go all the way up until y'all can go all the way up into that next governing principle. All that we covered. Let's go all the way to all we covered. All right. That's it. Y'all have a good one. Yeah.